immigrant.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. In the studio today with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G? Amen. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
Real blessed.
Amen. Going to get right into the word and open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And Sheila G, on last week, and Dr. G, we were talking about this John the Baptist fella that was the forerunner of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And how he had such an excellent commitment to doing the will of the Father for being the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And we all kind of challenged ourselves, are we in that same mode of John the Baptist? And Jesus assured him and those that were around him that he was the Christ, he was the Messiah. And as we continue on in this 11th chapter, we are looking at how he's continuing now, after he talked about John the Baptist, to talk about who he represented and who Jesus represented. And just to let you know, there's nothing new under the sun. They had two different approaches in ministry. One was more eclectic. He was out in the wilderness eating locusts and honey. And Jesus was among the people.
Right.
And he was eating and drinking with the people. So they called one extreme, and they call Jesus a glutton and a wine bibber. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were presented the gospel in so many different modes, they rejected them all.
Right.
And so Jesus is going on in the last part of this 11th chapter, down at verse 12, that Jesus goes on to explain the difference between the two. And then, like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. Says that no matter what, you know, these folks are presented with, whether it's from John the Baptist, whether it's from Jesus, they still rejected the message.
Amen.
And people are still rejecting the message today.
Amen.
Because they want to be large and in charge.
Amen.
Nobody wants to submit to the authority of God.
Right.
Or God's leaders.
Uh-huh.
I'll say that again, Dr.
Amen.
G.
Amen.
Or God's leaders.
Amen.
And you know, if they don't submit to Jesus, the leaders don't stand a chance.
Hey, you got that right.
So let's look at chapter 11, Matthew 11, chapter verse 12. And it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." And we talked about that last week, that it's not going to be something pretty. The kingdom is always going to have challenges, and you're going to have people always in an uproar. We talk about ministry on a weekly basis, Dr. G and I, Sheila G and I, and it always seems like there's always some type of turmoil.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God knows.
In ministry.
Amen.
I know a whole lot of people say that.
Amen.
Sometimes
Amen.
The church, I call it the soap opera that our grandmother used to watch.
Uh-huh.
As the world turns, General Hospital. These are the days of our lives. I call it as the church turns. These are the days of our church. And it's just a continual drama.
Yeah.
And you have to understand this is because sin is in the world. The world was cursed because
Amen.
Of sin. And because of that, it's going to suffer violence. And so when we look down at verse 13, it says, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John." And so this was the word that these religious leaders or the Pharisees should have known, that John was the Elijah that the prophets prophesied about, the forerunner, the one that was coming that they prophesied about. But they choose to ignore it because they wanted to stay large in charge. And they didn't want the Messiah, the anointed one, to come. They didn't want him. And so, you know, he said, John is the one that they prophesied about. And then in verse 4 says, "And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come." And in other words, the prophets said that there would be a forerunner of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pharisees and the scribes, now the scribes was the ones that supposed to be writing down every detail, every jot, every tittle. When someone from the religious leaders asked what about this, they were supposed to be able to go through the scripture and pull it out and say, "Here it is." But isn't it amazing how some scripture folks just don't want to, they just forget about it.
Amen.
And say, "Well, that's not in there."
Amen.
Or they know it, that's what we talk about, knowing the
Amen. And it's amazing how he says, "If you receive it," and I often counsel with people, and I'm sure you all do the same thing. And you know, they'll tell you what their situation is, and you give them the word, and you know, that's all you can do. I remember when we first started the ministry at Central High School, and I would tell them, I said, "Look, I'm going to give you the word, I'm going to pray for you,
Amen.
Then I'm going to go home, I'm going to climb my steps, I'm going to get in my bed,
Amen.
I'm going to pull up my cover, I'm going to kiss my wife, and I'm going to go to sleep." And people would look at me, "Well, Pastor, just don't care." It's like, no, it's not like I don't care. But if prayer, the word, and the Holy Ghost can't do it,
Amen.
There's nothing I can do staying up at night worrying about it.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. G, I got the strangest look. It's like, what? You not what? It just seemed like that was so cold-hearted.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, you know, I don't know what it is. Folks want us to almost get in bed with them, with the problems, with the situation. But us getting involved to a point is all that we can do. We can't live out their lives for them. They've got to want to do what the word says themselves.
They don't want to hear the truth.
They don't want the truth.
I want you to tell me what I want, not what I need to do. And so, if you tell me what I need, it's not what I want. And I feel like, but that's why we have to give it to you, knowing to walk away. Lord, I presented it. They didn't respond.
Like I just. Whosoever will.
So that's what.
Oof. Yeah, but that was the thing. It's like, Pastor, and so they got. To start the saying too. I said, you know what I'm going to do, right? They said, yeah, you're going to pray for us. You're going to give us the word. You're going to go home. You're going to climb your steps. You're going to get in your bed. You're going to pull up your covers, kiss your wife, and go to sleep. Because it's a word, prayer, and the Holy Ghost can't do nothing
with
it. There's nothing I can do staying up all night. Word. Not mean to be cold-hearted or anything like that, but that's what you got to do. So hear what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 14, he says, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. And in verse 15, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But you have to have the
ears.
You got to have the ears to hear.
And
you just can't have ears and don't hear.
Amen.
You have to have willingness to hear what is being said, not what you heard. What you want. This is what is said. This is what it is. Turn around. This is
what I always crack up about when people say, I hear you. So you say, in other words, they're saying, I hear you, but they're not listening.
See,
you have ears to listen.
That's right.
And when you listen, what happens is you can take in the information,
amen,
that will allow you to be able to interpret and do something about it. But if you just I hear you, it's like sounding bad.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear anything, but if you're not listening,
amen,
then you won't hear that little nugget or that little word, that still small voice from God that's saying, do this and not do that. But if you just say, I hear you, but are you listening?
Right.
I think a lot of times our kids hear,
yeah,
but they're not listening.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
So then when something happens, that's when you say, that's when they hear you.
Oh, my God. But that was true with those in the biblical days back then. Is that Jesus said, if you have a ear to hear, you know, even has an ear to hear, what is it? Let me go to the verse. Even have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, listen to what the word is saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to give you something. All these problems you're having with the Roman government, all these problems you're having with all these people coming against you, and God saying, here is your Messiah. I done sent John the Baptist. He was the one that was foretold of, that was coming, like I said. Here, and you don't even understand what you have in your midst. It's sort of like a children don't realize how much their parents are trying to do for them. It's like,
amen,
your parents become the most meanest,
amen,
thing in the world.
Amen.
They don't realize,
amen,
that you're trying to,
uh-huh,
they're,
that's right,
trying to help you stay out of trouble.
Amen. That's right.
Look at them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Hold on, wait. We gotta get this fella. Let's get this fella on. We got a fella in the audience. But Brandon is gonna chime in on that.
Just a quick comment. I know this is early. I learned this a long time ago from one of my basketball coaches. They said, look, if we yell at you, coach or your parent, that means we care. We are exerting energy to want you to do well. They said, when we don't yell and we're not yelling at the top of our lungs or showing no energy towards you, that means we don't care.
That's
we could,
right,
care less about how you do it. So I was taught a long time ago by somebody else that you don't really worry about the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Just take from the message what they're really trying to get to, and that the frustration is just frustration that they want you to get it right and want you to get it
right,
better, because they
right.
know when you go outside in this world,
Amen.
They may not be around
right.
to help you out and to save you, and the world can be cruel. So it's preparation for what's going to happen, because everybody you work with and interact with is not going to be a family member or have your best interest at hand.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And it's like the people that are loving you, and so you saw, say, a discipline you or strict on you, they are the ones that are trying to help you in the long run.
That's right.
That's right.
But you think they dumb, don't know anything, just being mean, picking
uh-huh.
on
don't
me.
Don't want me to have any fun.
Don't want me to have any friends.
Amen.
Don't understand.
Uh-huh. Want me up under you all the time.
Not like so, mama.
Yeah.
Come on.
They do whatever they
want.
They can hang out, stay up late. I can't even come in. I mean, we used to have to come in when the street lights came on in the summertime,
right.
and it was still daylight.
It's daylight outside.
Hello.
I'm stressing going to school
right.
here. It's like, but it's still daylight outside. I know. It's like,
yep.
you got to come on in the house.
Uh-huh.
uh-huh. You got to come right now. Amen. Amen. Now that we're older and wiser, it's like, why would you want to be out there in the dark?
Come on.
Exactly. I'm getting in my house. But Jesus is telling you, if you got an ear to, if Jesus is breaking it down to you, say, look, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Jesus, I'm breaking you off a little something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That all the prophets, you know how many prophets were
right.
prophesied mm-hmm. up until John the Baptist?
Mm-hmm.
All of those prophets prophesied pointing toward the Messiah. From Genesis 3:15, where God said, I will put enmity between thee, thy seed, and the woman's
right.
seed.
Mm-hmm.
When he, from all the way back here, this was the promise of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got it twisted.
Yeah. Still
they get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to you know, set up and come and overthrow the Roman government and put them in charge and have a good old, you know, supremacy.
Hello.
But Jesus, I need to get your heart straight first.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
He said,
right.
I came to straighten your heart up first.
Mm-hmm.
I put the kingdom in your heart.
Right.
Right.
It's hard for people to do that because they want to do what they can see and what they can feel.
Mm-hmm.
And with the heart, you got to work with faith. And that's why that's the issue between authority and like with a child and a parent relationship. I'm telling you something that I know because I know it, but because you don't know it, you don't have the faith to believe that I'm telling you because you're going to hit the wall.
Mm.
But you don't see the wall. And you're like, no, I'm not. Okay,
right.
I'm trying to tell you, this is why you're going to hit the wall. But because you don't see it and you
mm-hmm.
don't have that faith in what I'm trying to tell
right.
you,
right.
you go on back to business and you hit the wall.
Amen. Or curve.
yeah. Or the back of somebody's car.
Or the back of somebody's car.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I
mean, uh-huh. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I understand. It's and you telling them. You told them. It happened anyway. But these are the things. These are the things that happen. And so when you look. So when you look at verse 16, he goes on and explains about this generation. He says,
mm-hmm.
but whereunto shall I liken this generation?
Oh.
In other words, Jesus said, let me think and let me, have you ever had to stop Dr. G and say, well, let me get my words straight.
Hello.
So I can articulate this correctly.
Let me break it down.
Uh-huh.
Let me give you an example of how you're behaving.
Amen.
And he says in verse 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? And everybody go,
Come on.
It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows. And this is what they're saying. They ungrateful, unsatisfied. I'm going to leave that alone. But it says, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. In other words, he's saying, whatever we do, you're not satisfied
right.
with.
Amen.
Yep.
Can you identify with that in the church? It seems like whatever you do,
Amen.
They're not satisfied.
Somebody's nope. going to complain. Or there's always going to be. My favorite phrase, which used to be, the members have a concern. We have a concern. We have a concern. I wanted to ban that word from the church.
Yeah, that word was worse.
It's like concern. Concern about what? This is God's house. And God has put this in place. God has placed the leadership in this house. And he has given that vision to way back. You see in the Old Testament, only the priests could go but a certain place. Everybody else couldn't. So God has given that vision through Jesus to the pastor, to the leadership. If it's not being of God, all you have to do is pray to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit convict the pastor. Yep. You don't have any power, but you got a concern.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, I'm going to let you comment on that one.
I'm trying to be nice tonight. But, you know, there's so much of that mess going on. And the leadership have got to be of the Lord, because if he isn't, he'll go off over. He definitely want to cuss them out and just say, forget it. But see, God gives us thick skins. And even during those moments when, you know, we've had enough, the Lord will convict us and say, it's not about you.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
No,
that's
it's
right.
About
that's
what
true.
You are trying to do.
That's
and
very
so
true.
He gives us that little extra oomph to hang in there and keep doing what we're doing.
Right.
And I found that when we get to that point, you know, when they don't want to hear you, when they don't want to listen, I just go pray. And like you say, you go home, go up the stairs in your covers. Pull the covers up. I just go pray on them, and because they're gonna do it their way, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to hit the wall before they understand. And then when they hit the wall,
like, oh, can you hear me now?
Then they come with the head down. Mm.
And so what Jesus is saying, he's saying, I came a certain way. You don't want to hear me.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist came a certain way. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to hear me. So let's continue on in the conversation that he has. And in verse 18, he says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has
the
devil.
Yeah.
Call John.
Sure did. They call him a demon. He's a wild thing.
Right? I can't mean the word.
Uh-huh.
Then you go down to verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. In other words, John was a demon and Jesus was drunk.
Yeah.
A greedy drunk.
Come
on
now.
That's what he said.
You can't win.
Mm-mm.
You can't. Our mother used to say,
you can't win
for losing. No, she used to say, you can't have nothing.
Amen.
Hell yeah.
You bring something in the house and tear it up.
I was going to say, that's because the boys always told
you. You can't have nothing. Can't have nothing. But Jesus goes on and says, but wisdom is justified in her children. Or what he's saying here is, but wisdom is going to be proven out in the works.
Amen.
The works of John and the works of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He said wisdom, in other words, it's going to be shown.
Right.
Amen.
And that's the thing, wisdom that your parents tell you.
Mm-hmm.
They say a hard head makes a soft behind. That wisdom is going to prove itself out.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, it
everybody under the sound of my voice that ever grew up, anybody ever grew up knows that a hard head makes a soft behind.
Yes, it does. Amen. Amen.
I don't care who you are.
Amen.
If you don't listen to that wisdom,
that's right.
Look both ways before you cross that street.
Amen.
Bam.
It's true.
Bam.
It's very true. But, you know, the one thing that I do that's like kind of a way to the scripture is something that I think a lot of people need to hear today. Jesus is saying right there, I'm not saying that my word has to be presented in a box.
Right.
It could be, I could use it this way or this way. My word is still saying. So if you have to dial in the Bible study,
come on now.
Or sit in the building,
come
or
on
do
now.
A conference call,
or
go out
the phone.
In the yard, preach under the tree. You know, a lot of times people want to put it all into a box, but he himself is here saying it. I even broke it down for you.
Yeah.
I'm presenting it in different ways so that it can reach you. But at the end of the day, you have to receive it.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. That's that's so key back then and right now.
Right now.
Is that the gospels be being presented
yes.
in so many
different
ways that there will be nobody with an excuse.
Right.
Which
is what he's saying.
Right,
it's
right.
Like...
Wisdom, he's saying wisdom will be justified. In other words, it's going to be proven out
mm-hmm.
that the words of John, the words of Jesus,
right.
the words of those who proclaim the gospel, it's going to be proven out.
Mm-hmm.
All those who have heard the gospel in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's going to be proven out. We don't know the day nor the hour,
Amen.
But it's going to be proven out. And all those that rejected it will see the fruit.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to wait till then, because a lot of people are struggling now because they're taking that path ahead of time.
Ouch.
When you wouldn't have to struggle as much as you would, or at least you'd have the peace in the midst of your storm. The storm
Amen.
Will still be there, but you don't have to suffer as much as you have to suffer if you would just listen and have ears to hear.
Amen. Amen. And then you really, really, when Jesus, you know, he starts off that paragraph. He's telling you, look, hear what I got to say. And many times people that are older than you or people with wisdom try to tell you something. Boy, you need to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you need to leave that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you need to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you need to stop doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do that. Why are you all up in my business?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to run my life?
I'm not a child.
You done lived your life. Why you got to be all up in my life?
Amen.
Oh, that was back in the day. Why are you trying to get me to be like this?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, no, the same as, well, you messed up, too.
And you messed up, too.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to prevent you from hitting the wall that I did. That's my point. Yes, I did mess up.
But you notice the thing with that, each generation, even when you go back and you look at the Old Testament, each generation was worse than the previous
yeah.
generation. And each generation had to find out the hard way. No one wanted to believe what the prophets had to say.
Man, it would kill them all.
Folk don't want to believe what God is saying now. And so each generation, they have to go through what they go through and get hung out. Then they want to come back.
And they want to make their own God.
Uh-huh. Right.
They want to make their own God out of wood and
gold
and chains. And
how you, take it too long.
How this going to be? You made it, but it's going to be.
Right.
Now, what the hell? You
got to see something.
There's a word called retarded.
Hello.
How retarded is that? That this is my God. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go out in the woods,
uh-huh.
cut it
but
down.
But it's going to have more power than
Come
me.
On.
I'm going to make it, and then I'm going to get some power over me. That's a little bit retarded.
But, right.
Yeah, imperfect people make it up perfect.
They're supposed to be perfect.
And that's just being arrogant or
mm-hmm.
disrespectful to God.
Mm-hmm.
God, we are his created beings, but we don't give homage to the creation.
Mm-mm.
But bring it today. Bring it in today. We got to bring it in today. How many people will spend Sunday washing their car instead of going to church? How many people will stay those extra few hours at work when they know versus, okay, at least let me get in my car at the time so I can dial in the Bible study or
you
dial
meddling
in.
Now. You meddling now.
How many people will
time.
Put their
Not
the food, their husband,
Not
their kids, or and say, okay, I'm going to do instead of switching that thing around so that God can manage all those things of your life. It's the same thing. It may not be a golden calf, but it's still an idol that you are
right.
putting up as worshiping more
before
mm-hmm.
the Lord,
before God.
Mm-hmm. And I look at I know everyone, most everyone heard about Prince
mm-hmm.
Passing. But you look at these artists and they struggle in their songs with who God is.
Amen.
They go around and you know even the Beatles they go around and. All of these icons, they struggle with that, like Marvin and those, and it's like they're super genius, but in the end, do they really know who the God is
right.
that created them and gave them this talent?
Mm-hmm.
They gave them that, and they support that. And you know, you just pray for them during their lifetimes that they came to know the true God.
Right.
You know,
and
that
the gift giver, because they're truly gifted,
right.
Very gifted.
The gift that gave them the gift. Hopefully, they had ears to hear, mm-hmm. and got to know the true and living God. And you hear it all through their music where mm-hmm. they mixed it with who it was, Marvin
mm-hmm.
Gaye,
mm-hmm.
the Beatles. You know, they and then a lot more artists they tried to in their music were probing the depth, but
mm-hmm.
did they want to hear the truth
mm-hmm.
or did they want to hear what they wanted it to be?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important because once you're gone,
that's it.
You had your opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, only what you do for Christ will last.
You had your opportunity, and you wonder about that. Sometimes I wonder about those musicians with that type of gifting and talent. Was it too powerful for them
mm-hmm.
to even see God?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't judge anyone,
mm-hmm.
and we just have to keep presenting the gospel.
That's right.
But Jesus got a little heated, Dr. G.
Hello. Come on.
Basically, what he's saying, you didn't believe me.
Come on.
You didn't believe John.
I gave it to you all different ways.
And he was like, you gave it to you all different ways, especially those folk that are in his own household.
Mm. Yeah.
Say it.
Amen.
Amen.
And this is some serious stuff right here, because he's going to really tell them that it was worse for you. In other words, just like in heaven, there's going to be rewards based upon what you did in the body.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be levels of I don't know if you call it unrewards or punishment,
judgment.
Dr. G.
Yeah.
Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And Let's see what Jesus says about these folks that was right near him and saw all these miracles and still rejected him.
Mm.
Let's go to verse 20. Then began he to upbraid. Oh, my God. Upbraid. Upbraid. You know what upbraid means? That means you get ready to get your hind paw tore up. Jesus getting ready to tear him up. He getting ready to upbraid him. He getting ready to tear him up. He said, then he began to upbraid the city. Talk about him, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not.
They received, rejected him, rejected John, rejected him, rejected the message, no matter how it was presented.
Most of his mighty work, it said mighty work.
Mm-hmm.
It says mighty work. That cracked me up. If folk come and to new birth and miracle performed right before their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Amen. Amen. Right before they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the audacity. Ah. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Preacher ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist ain't doing nothing.
Come on.
Jesus ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Church ain't doing nothing.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
But he said, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because what?
They repented not.
They refused. Even when it was in your face,
saw
and
it.
Showed you
saw
mighty
it.
Works, and you refused to repent.
Seven.
And say, God, for who you are,
mm-hmm.
thank you for who you are, I repent.
Mm-hmm.
I surrender.
Yep.
Now, again, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nope.
If Jesus came and someone was raised from the dead, folks probably get excited for a little while and then go back to their
you
old self.
You see it all the time when something happens to us or something happens to someone, and they'll tell you in a minute, they'll confess that the Lord truly brought me out of that. I know that was nobody but God that brought me through. He spared my life. And then as soon as they're getting better, they're back to doing the same thing over again.
Mm.
Amen. Yeah. It's like, okay, now God, now that you spared me, you took care of me, let me put you back on the shelf, and I'll take it from here. And what happens? You end up right back in it. But it's, again, taking it from here and bringing it to today. That's exactly what happens.
Well, let me take a
little
bit further.
You have to be consistent.
You come to church, you become spiritual. But as soon as you leave the church, you're back doing the same old mess. That's why you won't call in the prayer
study.
That's why you won't call in the Bible study. But let something happen. Then you're on the call.
Amen.
Pray for me.
Pray for me, my situation.
So, no, nothing new.
Nothing new.
Under the sun. It hasn't changed.
But he said, mighty work.
Amen.
See it, and
folks have been delivered.
Big time.
Raised from the dead. Blind can see. Deaf ears unstopped. Miracle after miracle. And they won't repent.
Nope.
Uh-huh.
All kind of sickness and disease won't repent. You say, that's okay. Look what he says. In verse 21,
whoa,
somebody need to duck.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said, whoa, you need to duck. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethesda, for the mighty works which were done in you and had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he's saying you got more than what they had.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you still won't repent.
Mm-mm.
You still won't do right. I call it act right now.
Yeah. Come on.
You don't have any act right. You don't have any act right. And he said if they would have received the blessing that you saw and got, they would have repented a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you still refuse to repent.
Mm.
Mm. It's some rough folk.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Yeah.
It's some rough folk.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, woe unto you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to upbraid. And look what he says in verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you.
Because you saw it.
So what this is telling me is, oh yeah, there's gonna be just like there's levels of reward.
That's right.
It's gonna be levels of punishment.
That's right.
So the demons that want to act ugly, well, people say God don't like ugly.
God,
I know that's not in the scripture. That is not scriptural. That is not scriptural. Doesn't like sin.
Amen.
But there's gonna be levels. It's the same penalty for sin.
Mm-hmm.
The same penalty for sin is death.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some punishment for the ugly stuff that you
did. Amen.
Oh, boy.
And a lot of that is going to happen before you die.
Ouch. Right. That's right. That's what I mean by you have to struggle through things that you really didn't have to struggle through.
And then he goes on to the next city in verse 23. And now, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven. And he got these the stuck up folk. These the holier than thou folk that have never sinned.
Hello.
And never do anything wrong. They are the ones that are superior to those others who may attempt to come into their presence.
They call him a drunk.
Well, they begin to talk sophisticated.
Sedity.
And they no longer are in touch with those common folk.
Hello.
But Jesus, heard from, look what he says. Thou Capernaum, which art exalted under heaven, shall be what? Brought down to what?
Hell.
Folks get mad. We say, you going to hell. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Dr. G, am I cussing?
Nah, but you just telling it like it is. And also, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the first shall be last,
and the last
shall be first. And that goes along with that verse also. You know, so all that little sadidiness, and, you know, you walk in, your nose all up, and because, well, it was Sunday where we went. So we started coming in, and some of them older ladies and them older people started rolling their noses there a little bit. I say, hey, not here.
He over here crying, y'all.
He said you're going to hell.
I mean,
that's what he said.
Look at the word he said. He says, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to what?
Hell.
You're going to hell.
But he does tell him why. He doesn't just straight say you're going to hell. He says why.
But it says, for mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day.
It does. Got to see, but they didn't.
In other words,
and you feel just lovely.
Right. You got to see the Messiah actually on the scene.
Right.
These other folks were walking by faith.
Right.
You got to see it on the scene, live and in
love.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we, the church, has the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 I mean, we have God with us.
With us.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Working in our lives. Mm-hmm.
All the time.
God is with us.
Well, you say call him up? He's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
In the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. And want to act up.
And like he done too.
Oh, my God. And then in verse 24 it says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee.
And for thee. Going in.
It's an eye opener that, you know, people are saying, well, God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to hell.
That's just made up.
But even if you.
But my Bible has it in red, Dr. G. When it's in red, that's the words of Christ.
God said it. But all you have to do is look at. Okay, let's compare it. Do an analogy and the children and the family. The child, that it always seems like the oldest will get in trouble more than the other ones. Because what do they say to the oldest? You should know better.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, we were all getting in trouble. But the one that knows better would get in trouble worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
know better.
You know the rules. I already told you once. I told you five times. This one here is getting in trouble for the first time because they didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
They knew a little bit. They knew they shouldn't have done it inside, but they did it anyway.
Right.
So they're getting a little bit of punishment, but you're going to get the biggest punishment.
Yeah.
Because
I've seen that many a time since.
Because you should know better. Right? Yeah, we just did it. So, you know, the ones that don't know, they get some trouble, but not as much as trouble as the older ones, because the older ones have shown and know and should know better.
Amen. Yeah, I've seen that played out in our family.
Yes.
It would start with our oldest brother, Steve.
Uh-huh.
He would be upbraided. And by the time it got to me, we were like, get in there. I cried just as hard.
Everybody was in trouble.
Like I got with Steve, I got upbraided, and all I got was get in there. And I'm falling out.
You quiet back there
because
you're the oldest, so you got it, right?
Oh, I got it.
Meanwhile, your brother got it, but not as much.
Not as much. I got it.
Yeah. Thank the Lord for all the siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, older siblings.
Yeah. But he's saying Sodom is going to get punished, but y'all are getting, it's going to be more tolerant. In other words, there's going to be punishment.
Yeah.
There's going to be levels of punishment, just like there's going to be levels of reward. It's going to be rough. And, you know, when Jesus said, you know, you're going to be brought down from heaven to hell.
Mm.
Yeah.
Going to hide now.
It's rough.
And like Pastor said, it doesn't, you always have to wait for God for that to happen.
No.
Be on top of the world and whoosh.
So
bring
we
you down quick. Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go to the online. we got a couple of folk in the studio audience. We're gonna ask them. And the question that we'll ask, considering what we studied, is: do people really think that there's gonna be a judgment? We really think there's gonna be a judgment, that God is gonna judge, and there'll be punishment.
I'd have to say the majority of people, at least opinion, don't believe that. It's one of those things where it's, you read it, you hear about it, but really don't believe it. And based off of people's actions, whether they believe it or not, their actions don't speak of there being some form of punishment by God or not getting into heaven by not living right on earth. So, you know, I've always been a firm believer in your actions speak louder than your words. So you can tell me what you want, you believe or don't believe, but your actions clearly show that, you know, if you were really embedded in God's word, really know what the Bible says as far as what's going to happen in the end days and for those individuals who will have to stand at the pearly gates and basically, you know, state what they did or didn't do while spending time here on earth, your actions don't show that. So I would definitely say, in my opinion, that, you know, the majority of people, from at least what I've seen and just in my humble, honestly, humble opinion, their actions do not show or, you know, are indicative of that, of someone who believes that, you know, God will ultimately, you know, unfortunately have his wrath on those, and those individuals will not get into heaven. And, right. You know, he gives us plenty of chances to try to get it right. And I think that's what people, you know, don't tend to realize, is that, you know, every time you wake up, it's a blessing. Every time you go from point B vehicle, it's a blessing. Every time you've damned God for what he hasn't done in your life or why are you going through certain things, it's a blessing that you are able to go through those things, but it seems like it just goes over everybody's head, and it's like, oh, you know, I just got through it or just chalked it up to a bad week. But to really analyze and say, you know what, every time I'm on this earth, every time I argue with my mother, I have an opportunity to call her back the next day to get it right, because guess what, she might not wake up the next day, and then that might be something that I have to live with. So I think if a lot of people just stopped and really paid attention to their surroundings and realized, look, God is giving you as many chances as possible. Pastor and I spoke about it the other day. He gives us tools to utilize. So it's like, you have no excuses when you get into heaven. He's like, I gave you tools. I put people in your life. I've given you 85, 80 years on this earth. There's no excuse. What's your excuse for not getting it right or understanding that you knew this day was going to come, but you still chose to do what you wanted to do and live life how you wanted to live? So I definitely think that people need to kind of wake up and realize that every day is an opportunity to do better than the next, to make it right with someone you wronged, or to understand that, you know, you have a purpose here, and it's God's purpose. Pastor said it best, it's not about you. As much as we want it to be, I have my days where I want it to be, but at the end of the day, the reality remains the same. It is not about you. And when you realize that and you embrace that, then everything else will fall into place, and you won't have to worry about forcing anything or pushing anything, because you know I'm a Christian. Bad days are going to happen. Demons are going to come my way, but you know what to do. You have the tools. You have the people around you. You have the know-how to refer in the Bible. Man. All the answers are in the book. But guess what? The book is not going to read itself to you. It's not going to open up. You know, it's not going to open itself up to you. You have to realize now is the time that I need to get embedded in this word, and until we realize that as Christians, we're going to continue to struggle, and we're going to continue to have people who are in the church all of their lives not make it to heaven at the end of the day. Because coming to church and getting baptized, I learned a long time ago, is not a guarantee that you're going into heaven. A lot of people who've been in church, and unfortunately, I say this with all due respect, but they're in hell right now. Everybody that's in the church is not of the church and is not of God's will. It's for selfish reasons, and you can feel that spirit, you know? So, you know, my advice is to everybody, just not make it about you, but just understand that you have a purpose, but your purpose is to do the Lord's will and realize that every day is another blessing and an opportunity to get it right. Amen.
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 All right.
Thank God for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And whether we believe he exists or not, that doesn't change the fact.
That's right. There you go.
Because as 1 John 5, 5th chapter, and the 7th verse states, well, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these are one. So whatever we do, it's being recorded.
Amen.
And we're going to have to get a count of it, whether it's good or what's bad.
That's right.
But we're going to get accountability.
Amen.
So right now, it behooves us to do the right thing, to trust in Jesus Christ. And if we don't know him, we need to get to know him. And I just thank God that he allowed me at this stage to accept him into my life.
Amen.
Because there's others who have gone on and probably died in their sins.
Amen.
So this is an opportunity, and I thank God for it.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for your comment. We're going to go to the phone lines. Caller, last four digits of the phone number is 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My comment is, I think a lot of people just don't believe. First of all, they have not accepted Jesus and they don't believe in him. They haven't even accepted the virgin birth, so if they haven't accepted that, it's hard for them to accept the fact that he's going to judge them. And some mm-hmm. people think they're going to live forever. You know, they have not accepted the fact that they are going to die. But
as we
talk tonight, they are going to die. And it's only two places they can go. It's either heaven or hell.
That's
and
right.
only they can make that choice. But the word tells us that everyone will have a chance to be saved. And Jesus is not coming back until everyone have that opportunity, because he's not going to allow
mm-hmm.
anyone to stand before him and tell him
mm-hmm.
that they did not know. They will not have that opportunity. Jesus is going to make sure that they know him. He said, every knee shall bow and every tongue is going
That's
to confess.
Right. That's mm-hmm. right.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. I know that's right. They're going to go to the video. Lay it back. Run the tape back.
Mm-hmm.
Being recorded. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits. Phone number 7348. 7348. You are on the air. 7348. Let's be listening in. All right. We're going to go to 7373. Last four digits, 7373. You're on the air. 7373. All right, we're going to go to 9772. 9772, you're on air.
Yes, good evening. Yes, that book replies to everybody. Everybody, that even the preachers and all that, that sit there and think that everything is going to be in heaven for them, but they got to answer the same thing. They're going to be judged like everybody else, and we're all going to be judged. The red letters in the Bible tells you what Jesus is going to do, and it's not lying. Whatever is happening to them is going to happen to everybody.
Amen.
And we're not going to get away with it. You got the answer to all of it. Because we're going through pain and suffering right now, but you got to go through the book and be answered by it too.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. Lord have mercy. Red letters in the book of Jesus.
Right. It's coming from Jesus himself.
Go
ahead.
It's sobering.
It is.
When it says he began to upbraid and he starts saying whoa, and he says more tolerable.
That's right.
We've got to understand how serious this is. Where you like you said, you're going to one or two places. I believe the caller said, Minister Dr. Reverend Lindsay said, you're going one or two places.
Yep.
There's no gray area. There's no purgatory where folks can give money and pray and pray you over. Stop it.
I just said it was a purgatory.
Pay and pray you over. Need another $1,000 right here. Short about $1,000, that should get him in.
Lord, but I mean, if you think about it, like if you were to do this in like a modern day play type thing,
it's almost like Jesus is saying, now this is ridiculous. You've seen this and this and this and this. You saw this and you saw this. And you still don't believe me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'll just wash my hands. It's like he's just saying, you all are ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's to a point where you really have to say, wow, are the opportunities that plain?
Mm-hmm.
And are we that dull that we don't see it? Does the enemy have that much of a deceptive play,
mm-hmm,
that causes us just to be so deceived that bad?
Mm-hmm. And you do see that deception from me all the time, and people just don't see it.
Oh my God, just get deceived. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, like you said, if you don't get in the word, I like what Brandon was saying.
You
got to open it up. You can't
not
get
open
it until
it
you
enough.
Open it up. And it's not going to open itself. And
mm-hmm.
so that's why it's so good. And that's why it's important for us who are our disciples to continue to preach and continue to teach. And that's what Jesus did, regardless of the rejection.
Right.
And regardless of what people say, he continued to preach and continue to teach, continue to set an example.
Right.
And that's what we must do.
Right.
Bill G, I'm going let you close it out tonight. Any last thoughts before we have a word of prayer?
Just like you said, we just have to continue just like Jesus did, regardless of him illustrating how ridiculous they were as far as not being able to see this. But we too have, we can't give up on God's word. We can't give up on planting that seed. We can't give up on continuing to say it. Because at the end of the day, God is going to say, you have 50 different opportunities present me to someone.
Amen.
But because you didn't want to get your feelings, you didn't want to get in your feelings, you only presented it in the 10 optimum.
Right, right.
So in season, out of season, you got to put it there and you can't get upset about it. You got to do it, leave it, and let me deal with it. Kiss your wife's husband, go to sleep. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity for us to be in Bible study, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would just take this word and hide it in our hearts, Lord, to continue to be bold soldiers for you, Lord. Not allow the things that we see, the things that we feel to distract us from the path that you have us on, Lord. Realizing that you have our destiny in place and you want us to be fruitful and multiply. In order to do that, we have to hide that word in our heart and present it to others,
mm-hmm,
and help to draw others to Christ. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
All right. That's going to do it for us tonight.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll hear from you and see you on next Thursday night. Good night.